Today we're talking about waiting with hope, and our scripture lesson is from Romans 8, verses 18 to 25. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly while we wait for adoption and the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it in patience. Friends, this is the word of the Lord for you today. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, open our hearts and minds and help us to experience your presence. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. This week I was reading about how this passage is really like the universal pattern of almost all musical pieces. It's just three parts: home, away, home. If you think about it, it makes sense. All music starts in a certain place, and then it kind of goes away with music notes that have tension and all kinds of body to them. And then finally at the end, the music resolves itself. Home, away, home. What if this is the pattern that Paul is talking about right here? The beauty of a pattern like that in music is that we have life and body to the music, and we want to get to the end of the piece to go home, if you will. Commentator Scott Hosey says you can also think about it like this. Do you know the shave and a haircut routine? Dun, 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 dun. And what do you expect? Dun, dun. Everybody expects those last two beats, right? We know that that's what's coming. What if Paul is saying something similarly? That we long for redemption and perfection and salvation. We long to go home. What do you think about that? What does that mean to you in your life? I mean, we've all seen some of home in Jesus and who he was and what he did for us in defeating sin and death. But we know that we're not yet home, are we? We're waiting to go home. In fact, we're in this already but not yet in between time. We have seen some of the first fruits of what awaits us, right? But it's not just us waiting. Paul says it's all of creation. All of creation began perfectly in the Garden of Eden, and all of creation will end perfectly in a heavenly home. But right now, we're in between those two places. We're longing for those last two beats. We're longing for the final chord in the music when it all resolves and we feel like we are at home. Have you ever heard the saying, in the end, all will be well? And if all is not well, it's not yet the end. What if Paul is saying something like that about this in-between time? We know we're in the in-between time because God's allowing us to live in this fallen world, surrounded by a broken creation, and yet God has filled our hearts with hope, with real hope for what's coming, about the salvation and redemption and eternal life that awaits us. This hope is powerful. It's not just for us. It's for all of creation. Did you hear what happened with the air and water when everything had to shut down because of COVID-19? We heard about how the air was just cleaner and the water was clearer. And animals' habitats were so much better because we were not disturbing them and polluting God's creation. Isn't that awesome to think about? Isn't that refreshing and exciting to think about what could happen if we weren't polluting and hurting God's creation? It reminds us that all of creation is longing and groaning for things to be made right, for things to become perfect. We all await redemption. And in verse 19, it says, we await for it with eager longing, which literally means earnest expectation. And in Greek, the word for that means to watch with your neck outstretched, kind of like you're craning your neck to see something great around the corner. In fact, Scott Hosey says you can compare this to a child at a parade, craning his neck, trying to see who's next coming around down the street. Isn't that a great image? Are we craning our necks to see what God is going to do next? That's not a posture of doubt. That's not a posture of resignation of, oh, well, someday things will get better. That's a posture of excitement and expectation about what awesome things God will do next, starting right now and ultimately in the end. The same image of hope is found all throughout the Bible. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says this, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. In Colossians 1:27, it says this, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What do you hear in these words about hope? Do you hear anything in these words about hope that helps you keep going during this pandemic? Do you hear anything about hope that gives you a reason to get up in the morning? What role does hope play in your life? Hope is connected a lot to God's grace and goodness. I have a colleague in Bixby, Reverend Ilana Keppel Levy, and she has a great website, somuchbible.com. You should check it out. In one of her blogs, she writes about something called the grace sandwich. She says, Presbyterians are really big on grace, and we are. And we kind of have this grace sandwich, which one piece of bread is God's grace, the middle is our awareness of sin, and the other piece of bread is that grace that awaits us, that final redemption and salvation. What if that's true of our lives? We've seen God's grace in Jesus, and right now we see the effects of sin all around us, but we know that God's grace is coming. There is this grace sandwich. There's also, though, a temptation for us. There's a temptation in all of this as we think about our time now and what awaits us. There's a temptation as we're waiting for those final two beats and that final chord of the music for us to just end the piece on our own right now, to try to tie it all up with a nice, neat bow on our own. This actually happens all the time when you think about it. Have you ever just thought, I just want everyone to stop complaining and whining and just be happy? Have you ever thought that about church? Have you ever thought, I just want every sermon and prayer and reading and music to just be happy? I don't want to hear anything controversial. I don't want to hear anything about suffering or pain. I just want everyone to just be happy. Sometimes we want to end the music the way we want to right now. Scott Hosey has a funny example of this. If you remember the Muppets, there was a Muppet named Ralph the dog who played the piano. And in one sketch, he's playing this beautiful Beethoven sonata, and the stage manager comes to him and says, you only have 15 seconds left. So all of a sudden, he jumps to the end of the sonata and plays the familiar ending. Isn't that sometimes like us? Don't sometimes we want to jump ahead to the end? Jump ahead to the ending we know is coming, but we want to do it on our own right now? But what do we miss when we do that? Well, some people would say we miss the suffering, we miss the groaning. What's wrong with that? But what if we also miss the eager expectation, the hopeful waiting? What if we miss that opportunity to crane our neck and look for what God is going to do next? It doesn't really help for us to jump to the end of the piece, because the way that we would end it cannot compare to how God will end it. Paul says this. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us by God. I wonder, what does that mean to you today? To trust that God will bring glory and goodness. And where are you finding hope in your life today? What is making your heart glad? What is bringing a smile to your face? What's bringing laughter to your life? What role does hope play in your life? I was reminded of hope and laughter and smiles when I saw our youth and kids on Zoom this last Wednesday night talking about preparing musical pieces for our YouTube worship. And you get to enjoy one of those today, actually. But I wonder, what's making your heart glad? What's giving you hope and joy, especially in the midst of this pandemic? And is it possible for you to imagine yourself craning your neck like a kid at a parade, looking for what awesome thing God is going to do next? Friends, that is our good news of the gospel today. We are waiting for God, and we are waiting for God with hope and eager expectation. And for this, all God's people say, Amen.